B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE superstar Liv Morgan, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Guys, it's time, so watch me.
And Mike Riley, we certainly watched Liv Morgan not only win the Money in the Bank women's briefcase, but also the SmackDown Women's Championship on Saturday night by cashing in and beating Ronda Rousey. Theory is now the men's briefcase holder. Blood and Guts happened on AEW this week. The Royal Rampage Rumble happened on Friday night AEW. But Mike, let's start first with Money in the Bank. And we need to specifically thank WWE. Pat, the owner at Banners at TD Garden, Courtney and Alyssa of TD Garden, of the promotions marketing department of TD Garden, for putting together and successfully executing a Money in the Bank watch-along party. We oversold capacity, the capacity of Banners. We met a ton of people, a ton of fans of 98.5 The Sports Hub, of our podcast, of WWE. We think there'll be another one for SummerSlam, but we'll see based on our availability. But Mike Riley, first and foremost, I have to compliment you. You were in your element at Banners. You were doing your trivia thing. You were getting the crowd as pumped up as you can. The PA announcer voice gimmick was over at Banners last night. And you had a drink or two. But Mike, you really did a great job last night in leading the giveaways, the trivia, all that fun stuff at Banners. And we had a great time. I know the staff was happy. I didn't hear one complaint about the event. So I was happy that everything went well.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words, Jimmy. And, it was so much fun and a lot of fun working with you. And, you know, I mentioned to you, too, your dry sense of humor, which I always get a kick out of no matter what. Just a few comments here and there in the microphone. You just had me roaring. But it was just so much fun. Like you said, talking to fans and having that full interaction. Everyone got a kick out of the championship titles. You brought the Winged Eagle and the tag team title one. Awesome. I brought the Universal title and, of course, the United States Championship because it was the Independence Day holiday weekend. Everyone just really, really liked that, and they ate it up so much. Great pictures, a lot out there on social media over the last 24 hours. So thank you, everyone, for coming out and just really enjoying yourself. That was the first time ever Banners had a WWE watch-along. On their, they call it the Dream Screen. That's their Jumbotron. That's amazing. So history was made right there, and just so much fun hanging out with everyone. Looking forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, so you're really good about, like, the hype stuff. Like, the let's get into this, because it's not my, like, they want us to, you know, promote tickets for SmackDown at the TD Garden on July 22nd. And if you use the promo MJ Party, you get 25% off select seats. That is our promo code. So if you go to buy tickets for SmackDown, you use that promo code. Not only do you save 25%, but you're proving that Mike and I were influencers.
That's right.
Because that's our specific promo code. And allegedly, they've never done 25% off on a promo code before.
It's a big deal.
I've never actually investigated that, but I'll believe it.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty cool thing for us that we have our own little promo code there. So the thing that this is the difference between you and me, Mike, is you'll say, get your tickets now before they sell out and use our promo code. And I'm like, no, if you get paid on Friday, get your tickets on Friday when you get your paycheck.
That's the difference
between us.
Yeah, you know what it is? I just have that Mean Gene Okerlund sales side to me where he goes, don't waste any time. Call your local cable company today and order the WWF Survivor Series, all whatever it is. So, yeah, absolutely. I just studying up on that. And it's true. I have a little sales side to me, so don't waste time and order your tickets today. For July 22nd, use the promo code MJPARTY, 25% off select tickets.
But don't use your credit card until you can pay it off, and that might be Thursday or Friday for your payday. Be financially responsible.
Yes, absolutely. James Stewart is the new Susie Orman over there. Huh?
Far from it. Far from it. But we want to thank Banners. We want to thank TD Garden. We want to thank WWE. Definitely. Because WWE was behind this. It was a WWE-sponsored event.
Yep.
And they reached out to us to do it. Awesome. So we were very flattered to do it. We were flattered to ask to do it. We were glad we had a great turnout. We oversold Banners. Everybody seemed to have a good time. Everybody was happy with it. SummerSlam, I think, is happening. It's just a matter of whether Mike and I are going to be involved in it or not, and that we have some scheduling stuff that we may or may not can work out. But I think Banners is going to have another one of these parties, and that'll be after SmackDown. But
yeah.
Brock Lesnar is doing SmackDown at the TD Garden on July 22nd.
Yep.
So, you know, if you buy tickets, it's promo code MJ Party. And it wouldn't shock me if you went to this SmackDown show that you get a pre-order code for a Survivor Series.
Absolutely.
I'm not promising that. I'm not guaranteeing that. Mm. But the Survivor Series travel packages for TD Garden went on sale this past week. So my guess is they're going to have a promo code if you want to buy Survivor Series tickets that night. I don't know that,
yeah,
but that's just my guess.
And yeah, the tickets aren't on sale yet, as you mentioned publicly, but it is going to be the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Saturday, Survivor Series. So nice, fun Thanksgiving holiday weekend there.
Thanksgiving weekend, and we get to go to more wrestling shows because that's exactly what we need to do.
Bring it on.
All right. So thank you to everybody who was involved in that. The big story, Mike Riley, coming out of Money in the Bank. And we'll get to Money in the Bank. Both briefcase matches, some undercard matches were really good. I thought overall this was an excellent, excellent pay-per-view. And we've got some AEW stuff with Blood and Guts, which I think was an outstanding match. But more about that later on. I think the number one story coming out of Money in the Bank is Liv Morgan winning the briefcase and cashing in on Ronda Rousey. And I'm not sure whether the story is more about Liv cashing in or Ronda being an epic fail for the first 7 months of her WWE return. And so we'll start with Liv. There is not a more deserving person based on everything that I have heard about Liv Morgan, that we have interacted with Liv Morgan.
All right. Yeah.
Has been about the locker room about Liv Morgan. I have never heard one negative word about Liv Morgan. She's got a great work ethic. My understanding is she's loved by everybody in the locker room. She's organically loved by fans. There could not have been a better pick to win Money in the Bank and to cash in the same night than Liv Morgan. I am extremely excited for Liv Morgan being the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Before we get to the Ronda Rousey part of this, Mike Riley, your thoughts on Liv Morgan winning the case and winning the championship on the same night?
Yeah, just to echo that sentiment there, that's a huge opportunity for her. And I know we'll touch on Ronda Rousey in just a moment, but you know, Ronda Rousey, that is only the third time she's been pinned by anybody in WWE, and that's a big deal right there. Money in the Bank, you win the Money in the Bank contract, and then you cash in that same night. Historic. So Liv Morgan, totally great story for her, a New Jersey girl. I thought Michael Cole set it up really well after she won the championship, talking about how her family was there in Vegas. And, you know, I think she's, you know, she's a New Jersey girl. She went to DeFranco's gym, who is a former Triple H trainer back in the day. He kind of got her into the WWE, you know, the landscape of professional wrestling. So a good story for her, 28 years young. And Liv Morgan has had some really good spots. She's been in Hell in a Cell. She's been in the Women's Royal Rumbles in the past and Money in the Banks. And now I think the company put the confidence level behind her to say, you can carry the torch and be a women's champion and showcase the best of the best on the SmackDown side of the show. And the fact that she was able to do it against Ronda Rousey is amazing. So hats off. Very happy for Liv.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Morgan.
So Ronda Rousey may have played a factor here.
Yep.
Her run here, this run this year in 2022 has been not good.
No.
There's a whole nother rant about that. But before we get to that rant, there was a report today, and this was kind of what I had thought, like in the aftermath of last night and watching it live as I'm rewatching the show today, because I partied last night. Like, we did our event and saw some stuff, but we partied, and for the sake of the podcast, we needed to go back and watch this thing. So that's what I did.
Take notes.
So there was a report that came out that Ronda Rousey handpicked Liv Morgan to beat her last night. And I'm happy that that happened, that Ronda Rousey was the one who's like, no, Liv Morgan's going to beat me. My concern is that if Ronda Rousey doesn't say that, that WWE never actually goes with Liv Morgan. And the tell on that might be what happens on Friday night on SmackDown. Like, if Ronda's gone, and there's some gossip out there that Ronda might be gone for a while. If Charlotte Flair magically pops up on Friday night and beats Liv Morgan, then what have we done here?
Right.
And I use Charlotte as a specific example because Charlotte's personal to me. I'm a honk for Charlotte Flair, all that stuff.
Right.
But that would be the wrong move, objectively speaking. Liv Morgan needs a good run here. She needs to beat Charlotte Flair. She needs to beat Becky Lynch. She needs to beat Asuka. She needs to go on a run of good matches and decisive wins, right? It can't be the slip on the banana peel win. It can't be the flash pin out of nowhere. But Ronda Rousey, if she's gone and she only would drop it to Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey's got good judgment. She's got a good feel for everything. Ronda's run started shaky, comes back at the Rumble, beats Charlotte in the Rumble, kind of slipping on a banana peel, right? Charlotte misses the boot. Charlotte goes over kind of on accident. And then she cuts that promo to WWE Digital where she's not a happy camper. And then there's the Becky thing on Monday night where Becky is out there being like, oh, Ronda picked me. Ronda picked me. And then on SmackDown, Ronda's like, no, I picked Charlotte. And Charlotte was just in the ring doing a promo that since Ronda picked Becky, which she didn't actually pick Becky, that Charlotte was picking Sasha Banks. So very confusing early process. And then through like the WrestleMania match live, I didn't like it. Watching it back, I liked it.
Yeah.
And then the I Quit match at Backlash was great.
Mm-hmm.
Ronda and Charlotte with that I Quit match was great. That was Ronda's best work. It might have been her best work outside of her debut in New Orleans at WrestleMania 34. But since Ronda has the title, you got people who don't want to work with her.
Yeah.
And I thought the match with Natty last night was great. I thought it was outstanding. What a great matchup. And then Liv comes out to cash in, and Liv is in that ankle lock submission. I'm like, oh, F you. You're gonna waste this great moment. Liv gets out of it, rolls up Ronda for a three count in the win.
Well,
so I didn't love that finish.
Yeah.
But I liked the moment of Liv winning. And then Ronda hugs her, hands her the title, hugs her, and walks out. And to me, that was Ronda's gone for a while. And that's by her choice. And I thought she handpicked Liv, and now there's reporting out there that she may have. So, Mike Riley, what are your thoughts on all this?
Okay, so on the Ronda situation in just a moment, but real quick, if you remember, Jimmy, when the music hit for Liv Morgan, I looked at you and I'm like, Jimmy, we have a cash in here. And your reaction.
I don't remember that. I may have been in another.
No, but your reaction was like, uh-oh, this is not good. Because, yeah. Right, if you remember that. So I'm like,
I don't.
Okay, well, there you go. You said it. I'm like, geez, she actually might just – they blow it here. You win, and then here you are. How are you going to beat Ronda Rousey like that? So to your point on Ronda picking Liv Morgan like that, who and yes, that match with Natty was really good. And Ronda, here's my question. You know, was she just selling her knee injury, or is it a real situation? That's something to look into too. So if she's going to go away, maybe she's got to heal that. But on the flip side, if she is okay, and
it
just
seems like a sell job, Mike. That's how I took it.
So I think the easy answer is that we're going to get Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey at SummerSlam. I think that's the grudge match situation here to set it up for that. And for Ronda to handpick Liv Morgan to take the title off her, that just shows, one, she has respect for her and enjoys working with her, and now she's like, game on, let's do it at SummerSlam. We can do this. So I think, yeah, that's a compliment for Liv Morgan right there. And definitely Ronda Rousey, yeah, we've heard all the backstage stuff, not easy to work with, feels comfortable with Liv. So just an easy setup there to get to SummerSlam. So in other words, just to go back on what you said before as well, with Liv Morgan, if she were to lose this here in that hypothetical situation on SmackDown this Friday, you're absolutely right. You threw something away, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I think you get a rematch of Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey at SummerSlam.
I hope so. Yeah. I don't know that I want to Liv Morgan. I don't know that I want to Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey rematch, because then there's the opportunity that Ronda just blows doors on Liv Morgan. I'd want to see Liv Morgan. Like, I do want to see Liv Morgan win against, like, Charlotte or Natalya or somebody like that. So, but in my mind, I still have Ronda Rousey as, like, the UFC shoot fighter.
But right? The thing is,
but yeah. She's shown so much vulnerability that maybe I'm just overestimating the myth that is Ronda Rousey.
Well, the thing is, too, with these Money in the Bank cash-ins here, and obviously Ronda Rousey sold the knee job really well with the after the match with Natty and the ring there and all that, you know, anytime someone comes down here to cash in, we've seen it over time, Edge on John Cena, Daniel Bryan on Mark Henry, the big ones I can think of right off the top, Dolph Ziggler, of course, it's right after a match, a big match, Seth Rollins, of course.
The three times Charlotte's been cashed in on.
Carmella, exactly. Another
Carmella, you know, Bayley, and Nikki Cross.
Right? So it's right after a big win.
Three times.
Yeah, exactly. But it's right after a, you know, they're worked really well. So it makes you want to see a feud right there. And I think that's what they're going to get to here with Liv and Ronda.
Mike, I would just say that the hug after.
That was interesting. And
the raising of the hand after.
Yeah.
Like when she handed her the belt, I'm like, okay, Ronda's going to clock her.
Yep.
Villain turn.
Right.
Ronda's on the dark side now. Nope. Hands her the belt, hugs her, says something to her, raises her hand, walks off.
Yep. Yep. That was.
And Vince is probably screaming, smile more, smile more.
Right. Right. No, that was interesting. You're right. So it does make you think Ronda might be going away. You got to think maybe she'll take a little time off. I don't know. But that, and you know what? That wouldn't be the worst thing for her if she is some time off. Yeah. Because you're right, this run since Backlash has not been good. It's been
Backlash
terrible.
Backlash is the exception to her run.
Yeah, but since she became the champion there, Backlash has not been good. Terrible. So maybe she does need to go away and recharge the batteries and get back to reality.
And some of that might not be her fault. Like if she's programmed with Naomi and or Sasha Banks, maybe we feel differently about it.
Right.
But then we probably don't get Liv Morgan winning Money in the Bank and cashing in on her.
Well, that's another thing to think of too, with the Sasha situation there and Naomi, with those two, leaving. Aside from Ronda Rousey here, was this all planned? You know, that's another thing to think of. After that, did they just say we got to go to Liv Morgan to win?
That's something I hadn't thought of, is maybe this was a devious plan by Sasha Banks, who's legitimately friends with Liv Morgan. to just quit the company or seek a release and maybe or may not have been granted a release.
Yep.
And so that Liv Morgan can get her spot.
Right. There you go.
Because Bayley and Liv Morgan are really good friends. And I know that Sasha and Liv Morgan are also good friends.
Aha. Okay. So that's some interesting stuff to keep in mind, right?
I mean, if you want to like really dig into a conspiracy theory that I don't even think I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe most conspiracy theories.
Yeah, oh, yes, you do. You're a big conspiracy guy.
I am.
Yeah.
And you can't find any traces of... And you can't find any traces of Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory show from like 10 years ago on the internet. So good luck for that. Speaking of a conspiracy theory.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Theory.
No
won the men's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
He defeated Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, Omos, Riddle, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, and Sheamus in what I think was a good Money in the Bank match. But the moment was Theory loses the U.S. title earlier in the evening to Bobby Lashley, which I think surprised some people. And here comes Adam Pearce to open up the match and be like, yeah, Theory is in the briefcase match. And I think it was McAfee who was like, but he's not going to win just because he's in the match. He's not going to win. Right. And lo and behold, he wins it. And I was upset at Theory winning it.
You were?
I was, because for me, there's something missing with Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't figured out exactly what it is yet.
Yeah.
But in thinking about it the day after and rewatching the show, I thought, should I as a fan be mad that WWE is trying somebody new who's young? And the answer is no. I may not like Theory. Yeah. He's a villain. Maybe I'm not supposed to like him.
Right.
But he's 25.
Yeah.
And he's in these pots. He's in these top spots.
Yep.
And Vince McMahon is endorsing him.
Well, that's
so it. I should be happy about that.
Right. And Vince obviously sees something with Austin Theory, and definitely, you know, he's had that push on him since last fall. But the fact, if you're going to put the one, you put him in the match so late, and then two, wins the Money in the Bank, that makes you think, it makes you wonder, how long is he going to hold the Money in the Bank briefcase for? And it's going to be over someone's head. And at that weird time, when will he cash in? I don't think, I mean, obviously it wouldn't happen last night because it was the last match, no Roman Reigns in, unlike the situation of Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey. So it's going to be a long play out here for Austin Theory. And maybe that'll get you to WrestleMania. It could happen. It's going to be interesting. Or a big Royal Rumble one or something. Maybe it could be a situation, say, if Drew McIntyre is to take one of the titles off of Roman Reigns at Clash of the Castle.
I kind of wonder if they're going to tease during the Last Man Standing match. So there was a video. I'll back up a little bit. So there was a video during Money in the Bank when they were talking about SummerSlam, and Michael Cole said, this is going to be the last time that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar fight. Mm-hmm. This would be their seventh fight on a pay-per-view stage or premium event stage or something like that.
Yep.
But it's a last man standing match. So who's to say that while we're in the middle of a last man standing match, here comes Theory out, right?
Exactly.
And Theory is either going to pin Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns,
right,
and get the Undisputed titles, or they're going to change the match into a triple threat match. The last man standing stipulation is gone. And Brock Lesnar is going to pin Theory, or Roman Reigns is going to pin Theory.
Yep.
And that's how they get out of it.
Right.
And you still, and then you can bring back Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns for one of the Saudi shows.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's how you get out of it. And now you've burned both cases, which I think is a waste. But that's also how you don't have to beat Roman Reigns. You don't have to beat Brock Lesnar. Right. I would just hate to see the Roman Reigns championship reign end by him not being pinned, by him not tapping out, by him not answering the 10 count.
I mean, it's coming up on 2 years in August when he won the Universal title. So, and he has not been pinned, anything along those lines there. So definitely a lot to consider there. And that's the question which we've had, especially when Cody Rhodes reemerged and had the big push there. He would be a heavy favorite to potentially take down Roman Reigns. But the Austin Theory thing is just fascinating now with the Money in the Bank to hold over someone's head. It could happen anytime, but I still think it's a long play out here. And you know what, Jimmy? I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be maybe a situation like the Seth Rollins cash in at WrestleMania 31 after a big one, right?
Cody wins the title. Cody wins the Rumble. He wins the title over Roman Reigns at WrestleMania in Los Angeles. Here comes Theory.
There you go.
And now Cody can't have his moment, and he still has to chase.
Someone said
that would be a ball breaker right there.
But here's another situation. Someone, I saw this on Twitter today. Someone put it out there. What do you think of this? With the impending return of John Cena at SummerSlam, just say he's back. What if Cena challenges Theory and the winner gets the briefcase?
So I would be into that, because then what you do is you can put Cena at either a Saudi show. You can put Cena at Survivor Series in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You can do more with it because Cena will call his shot. So if it's Cena and Roman at the Garden, or if it's Cena and Brock at the Garden for the world title, I think you sell out the Garden.
Oh, absolutely.
I think. If you can't sell out the Garden with Cena versus Roman or Cena versus Brock, then this company has a lot of issues.
You know what? It could even be the last ever Survivor Series, too. It might be.
Well, it could also be Cena's last match.
It could be that, too.
Right? There's still this, like, does WWE want to eliminate the 16-time world champion Ric Flair and just have Cena win it?
Right.
And in his hometown of Boston?
But you could also see him lose it there too, which has happened. And we know how.
No, I know. I know. He lost to Edge at SummerSlam that year.
CM Punk.
He went to a double pin with CM Punk at Night of Champions, Clash of Champions, whatever it was at the time.
But Vince
and
is notorious.
The Survivor Series in 2008, where he beat Chris Jericho for the world title.
There you go. But Vince is notorious, though, for talent in their hometown to lose. Bayley, Sasha Banks.
So I was talking to somebody about this very point. Like, Boston WWE-related tickets are down.
Oh, yeah.
And it may be in part because Sasha Banks walked into Hell in a Cell as champion, and Charlotte Flair walked out of Hell in a Cell as champion.
Yep.
And I would put that Sasha Banks reaction at Hell in a Cell, I would put that up against the CM Punk reaction in Chicago.
Mm.
Like, that's how, because there were people, it wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to see Sasha Banks eventually get her revenge. It was like, F this company, I'm never coming back.
Right. It was nasty.
And the ticket sales didn't go up for the Raw that Big E won on the cash in, won the world title on the cash in, until Big E tweeted out, hey, I'm cashing in on Monday.
Right. Right.
And I'm paraphrasing that. That's not specifically what it was, but the tease was put out there that Big E was cashing in. Timeline might have been Friday. They may have said something on SmackDown about it. It may have been that Monday. I don't remember it that clearly. Mm-hmm. But when Big E was like, I'm cashing this briefcase in on Monday, that's when people decided to flock to the Garden to see the fights that night.
It was week one of the NFL, too, so they had to jump on something quick and set the tone for that fall season there, of course, the fall TV sweeps. So Austin Theory, though, it'll be interesting to see how long he holds this Money in the Bank contract.
I should be happy because it's somebody unique and different and young.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have done it with Theory. There's something missing there. And it's potential. And I know that I talked about Theory a little bit more in depth last week, but there's just something missing there with him, and I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
The Ronda Rousey Natty match was excellent. The Usos pinning the Street Profits was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about it was not only was it a great match, but the pinfall with the shoulder up at the end, and it wasn't a kick out of 3D. It was hooking the arm and pulling the shoulder off the mat and the referee not seeing it. That's what I liked about it, because the Street Profits are now owed a rematch, and you didn't compromise the Usos finisher.
Yep.
That's the detail that I really loved out of it. If it wasn't an accident, yep. If that was the planned finish so that they could get another match out of this, whether it be on SmackDown, SummerSlam, whatever, I'm here for it. Put the Usos and the Street Profits in a ladder match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be
put fun. It on SmackDown. That's fine too, but yeah. Put it at SummerSlam. Like, I'm here for another match with the Street Profits and the Usos. I thought it was great.
It was really good. And you know what? The Street Profits are definitely the number one threat to take the titles off the Usos right now, because, you know, Riddle is on his own now. Randy Orton probably won't be back till next year. They've got to be the number one threat. They have to be, unless someone else emerges. Viking Raiders, I can't see that happen right now. But the Usos definitely, Street Profits are definitely the guys to go after the Usos. And here's the other thing, too. Those four guys in the ring, Montez Ford, of course, we've seen Jey Uso go singles. All those guys, I could totally see them. Jimmy Uso, rather. I could totally see them go singles at some point, all of them. That's how talented they are. One is a tag team, but they're just so talented to go out on their own. And the Street Profits have kind of teased that a little bit, possibly to have Montez Ford go off on his own, potentially down the line. So that could happen sooner than later. You never know. But if we're going to get one more match out of these guys, embrace every second of it.
Yeah, they did on SmackDown, but they did a back and forth promo, and it was Kayla Braxton, who was asking the question and hinted at dissension, and the Street Profits are like, "Where'd you get that from? The dirt sheets?" And I popped for it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But Justin Barrasso, a few weeks ago on this very podcast, was like, Montez Ford is a future star.
Boom.
And I think both the Street Profits are future single stars. Yeah. If they are promoted properly, they've got the in-ring talent to be able to do it. And I mean,
Angelo Dawkins is great too, you know?
I would love to find a way to work New Day into this. For SummerSlam. And if you got the Usos, New Day, the Street Profits all in the same ring at the same time, give me a ladder match.
That'd be
good to go.
That'd be exciting.
If you want to add like another like weird out of the box element, because they seem to be teasing at this, put McIntyre and Sheamus in there together.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah,
and then it'll be that much more epic, because now you have everybody who can fly around, and you've got two powerhouses who will just beat the hell out of you.
Imagine if McIntyre and Sheamus if that's the case, just a hypothetical situation here, because we all keep going back to Clash at the Castle in September with McIntyre to have it. But what if McIntyre and Sheamus walk into Clash at the Castle as the tag team champs?
Or they go in there to win the tag team champions. And maybe that's the pivot, right?
That could be it.
Is they decided that Sheamus and McIntyre are going to beat the Usos and somebody else is beating Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to wait it out for Roman.
But maybe we shouldn't assume that Roman Reigns is going to make that show.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's why
we don't know. We don't know at this point.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to be at SummerSlam. He could totally take that one off and then go back for October.
So. Or the next time we see Brock Lesnar is one of those Saudi shows.
I still think
that they're sneaky protecting Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley versus Roman is going to be one of those Saudi shows. Unless like Lashley's like, no, I'm not losing to Roman. I mean, Lashley wouldn't lose to Brock.
Right. Right.
Which is awesome. Yeah, like who else is like, no, I'm not losing to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Well, I do. Lashley. And good for Lashley too, winning the United States Championship. Like I mentioned last week here, I just think that's a good step in the right direction to kind of excel those mid-card titles now. Lashley, Gunther now for the Intercontinental title. So those guys right there, that's huge. And the big guys like Vince likes. So yep. It's a good step in the right direction.
That's kind of how I felt when Walter got the Intercontinental title off of Ricochet. Yeah. And now Lashley is the U.S. champion. Is Vince is back to airport guys. He doesn't have Roman for all the shows. So he'll go to the bigger, more dominant, powerful singles champions.
Yep.
And then the tag team champions are the Usos, and they're working everywhere, and they're good.
Exactly.
That's kind of where it is. And the women's champions, Bianca Belair is great. That story with Carmella seems like it's going to continue.
Whether
it's good or not is a different story, but
the thing with Carmella, just she can't win. She's so underappreciated too. Good in-ring worker, and she's keeps the competition. I think even for the most part, but definitely that match right there with Bianca Belair. Not in Carmella's favor to win. I could not see Bianca Belair walking into SummerSlam without a title. So, but for Carmella, man, she was getting a lot of heat from that crowd too. A lot of heat.
Because she can talk. Carmella's best gift is her gift of gab.
Exactly.
And after she cashed in on Charlotte in New Orleans, the SmackDown after WrestleMania 34, mm-hmm. Carmella went on to beat Charlotte in a one-on-one match and then beat Asuka twice.
Yeah.
And nobody remembers that. Nobody wants to give Carmella credit for that because WWE took a pivot at that point from Charlotte, Sasha, being the Charlotte, Asuka being kind of like the wrestling women's champion to, no, Carmella's got the gift of gab.
Yeah.
And she'll win through questionable means, but her promos are going to be top notch.
Right.
Exactly. And so I think at the time I remember liking the idea and the concept of it until they just went back to Charlotte at SummerSlam and then it went Charlotte, Becky, and then they had Ronda and so on. So
exactly.
But Carmella's in the conversation because she can win at any time. But her greatest gift is her gift of gab.
Gift of gab and like you said, essential dark horse, if you will. Never rule her out.
That's it as far as my WWE notes. Do you have anything follow up or can we transition to AEW?
Just very briefly, the women's Money in the Bank match. Obviously Liv Morgan won.
Sure.
But I just a couple of quick thoughts on that there. Lacey Evans, man. Maybe the Vegas crowd, it's not always a good wrestling town, but she just got booed. I don't know, not booed, but just like no reaction. So I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out with Lacey Evans. what WWE is going to do. They had a whole character revamp with her. I think this was a really good match for Shotzi. And Raquel Gonzalez looked really good in this match. Both of them, in my opinion, I think they're on their way to taking that next step of, you know, becoming at the championship level. And that was a really good match for both of them. Shotzi and Raquel looked awesome in the Women's Money in the Bank match. Asuka was kind of quiet, I thought. And Becky
Asuka Lynch, and Becky had their standoff early. I think that was really kind of what they needed. Becky had the leg drop off the ladder onto Asuka. And I think that was really kind of the showcase to make sure that they got a few things in, but really it was about Liv knocking Becky off the ladder at the end.
Right. Right. Yeah. But it was just a thought I had in my mind with the Lacey and Raquel and Shotzi. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Raquel Gonzalez needs to smile less.
Yeah, she does.
She needs to smile less.
So maybe Ronda should be hanging out with her.
So I did want to mention AEW because I think that they had a great Wednesday Night Dynamite. I thought that their Friday Night Rampage show was really good as well. The quick result is Brody King will be challenging Jon Moxley, the AEW interim champion, this Wednesday night on Dynamite. Brody won a 20-man Royal Rampage by last eliminating Darby Allin. That sleeper hold and just dropping Darby Allin on the outside of the ring, great visual. So they did this Royal Rampage Rumble, and it was two rings, and you entered minute intervals, and you were assigned the red ring or the blue ring, and it was like this rib on the Royal Rumble match, but just enough difference so that they can't get sued over it.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that. But it was a good match. They told some stories. I was surprised that Brody King won, but once I found out it was for a title shot on a Dynamite, it kind of made sense because it's Jon Moxley slaying another giant. It's the Hulk Hogan 80s playbook. Feed them monsters, let Moxley win, and we'll move forward until CM Punk's ready to go. And I assume beat Jon Moxley?
Probably.
But I don't know that I'm guaranteeing that.
Yeah, probably. The question is, is there still any indication as to when?
We have no idea.
Yeah, see, that's the thing
here. We have no idea on CM Punk. Like, I should text Ariel Helwani and be like, hey, bro, like, you've been in CM Punk's house before. You were talking to people backstage at WWE. Give me some intel on Punk.
Like, right.
Chat me up, bro.
Right, right, right. And Jon Moxley, the broken glass, too, bringing that out. We'll get
to Moxley. Okay. I wanted to start with Brody King being the challenger because I thought it was a nice upset.
Yeah.
Adam Page, I thought maybe would have gotten that, and you get Page versus Moxley, which is a good match that they shouldn't give away for free, but who knows with AEW. Like, they did Punk and MJF in a smaller Chicago building before they did it on pay-per-view, so who knows what they're going to do. But I like the Brody King one. I like it. It was a surprise. But transitioning to Blood and Guts, about an hour-long match. It might be the best War Games style match I've ever seen.
Mm.
And
you love violence.
I do love violence, Mike. And this match had everything in it. Mm-hmm. Glass, thumbtacks, pulling up the boards from the ring. Yeah. The Sammy Guevara toss off of the cage. And once I saw the elevated timekeeper's table, like, somebody's going through that. So they did everything right. But here's the key point beyond the violence in the match, the finish. Eddie Kingston wants to tap out Chris Jericho again. Meanwhile, Claudio is trying to win the match as well. And Claudio gets the tap out. And Claudio is excited because he's won the match for the team. And Eddie Kingston's like, but bro, I should stop using bro. I sound like Vince Russo. But like Claudio, like, I wanted to beat Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho's in my submission hold, which I tapped him out to a few weeks ago. I wanted that win. And so there's still that little dissension between Claudio and Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
And it's subtlety, but now you've got Eddie Kingston has a problem with Bryan Danielson, and that has transitioned over to now he's getting an issue with Claudio. And meanwhile, John Moxley's the world champion, and Claudio's in his group, but he's also Eddie Kingston's friend.
Right.
So there's this whole dynamic of, well, they're working together and they won this match. But at any moment, somebody could flip on somebody else.
Exactly. There's so much star power.
And that's
there.
What I love about it.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, just so much star power. Former WWE guys, even the We the People chants too, with Sammy Hagar and Claudio Castagnoli from the old WWE day. Of course, we know there. Moxley, like I mentioned, with the broken glass.
Mike, it's a great point by you. That Detroit crowd was into that match for the full hour.
Yes, they were.
They were chanting obscenities. They were chanting cuss words at people. That's how into it they were.
It was bad. Yeah, there was.
Oh, it was awesome. It was great. It gave me the ECW arena vibes.
What about, and speaking of ECW vibe with the violence, the broken glass, Moxley pile driving Parker right onto that there.
Yep. Good spot. Good visual.
I had to bite my tongue. I'm like, oh my gosh. And of course Eddie all throughout the arena pacing back and forth, and Tay Conti, being the real heat outside the ring.
Jezebel. That's a wrestling term. That's not an offensive term. That's a wrestling term. Jezebel. It used to be. I don't know if it's still acceptable now, but it was.
JR used it all the time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Kingston with a really cool spot, sending Sammy Guevara to the top, and then with the wooden platform at the ringside, just unbelievable. A really, really good match there. And overall, unbelievable for Claudio Castagnoli to get his first ever AEW match like that. That's huge. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because I could totally see him turning on one of those guys, or them turning on him and getting a good run at a title potentially down the line. We'll see.
There's also a developing opinion that I have, is that I think Eddie Kingston should be AEW champion at some point.
Absolutely.
The crowd's behind him. He's great promo. His ring work is solid. And there are so many real stories that they can tell, and the audience not only knows them, but they can also educate new fans on them. And so if Eddie went on a run and beat Danielson and beat Claudio, he's already beaten Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Why not Eddie Kingston to beat CM Punk ultimately? Yep. Or why not Eddie Kingston to turn on John Moxley?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they would do that, because Moxley and Kingston are good friends.
Yeah.
But there might be money in Kingston Punk 2 for the AEW championship. Mm-hmm. And also, it would create a sense of like, yeah, Moxley's the interim champion, but he just lost it. Like, due respect to Brody King, Brody King's not beating John Moxley on Dynamite.
No, no.
Eddie Kingston could beat John Moxley on a Dynamite.
I could totally see that. Yeah.
And then you have Punk and Kingston, and I'd have Eddie Kingston go over CM Punk.
Well,
not in Chicago, but somewhere else.
Maybe New York. When
New York would be perfect. Arthur Ashe Stadium, they just announced a show for.
In September again. So there you go. Yep. It's his hometown. And he's just so natural, and just everything, so over with the crowd, as we know. And everything was just so organic with Eddie Kingston. So I think that's a perfect scenario for him to be AEW champion. And to make that run there. Maybe, I'm not saying it's going to be on Chris Jericho, the title, but that's a perfect guy for him to take down.
Yeah, I just said Kingston, he feels authentic to me.
Yep.
And that's why it's like a developing opinion. Make this guy the world champion at some point.
Yep, absolutely.
And if not that, make him the TNT champion. But I think Eddie Kingston should be world champion.
Well, you're going to have Wardlow challenge for that again with Scorpio Sky this week. So maybe they have a run like that there for the TNT title down the line. That'd be awesome. Or you really go after that Mid-Atlantic one. give him a chance there. Make a name for that Mid-Atlantic title. Go ahead.
The Mid-Atlantic title.
Ugh.
The Mid-Atlantic title.
Gosh. That's the name of it, right?
Yes. Yeah. You have the name right. I'm just like...
It's just too much, you know?
Do we need another one? I mean, Ring of Honor is doing a pay-per-view in Lowell on 7/23.
July 23rd.
Tickets are on sale this Friday. Yeah, it's like I know people in Ring of Honor or have friends there or something like that. They, you know,
I love it.
It's, you know, the phone has been working better for wrestling takes than it has for NBA takes.
But it sounds like it was working okay for Draymond Green too, right?
Yeah, it was. It was. It's doing okay.
All right,
it's doing okay. But I could use a few more big hits than, you know, it's nice to. It's nice to swing for the fences on grand slams, but I'll take a few singles. Take a few singles. Like, you know, that's what I'll take.
Just get on base.
Yeah. Just get on base. Walks as good as, no, I want to hit the ball. I have a bat on my shoulder. I want to swing the bat. I strike out. Mike, do you have any other wrestling takes for me?
A good Money in the Bank, as we mentioned, that was the real highlight of the week, I think, for everyone. And the Blood and Guts was really a good show, too, for AEW. So now we're a second premium live event coming up here in less than 3 weeks now, SummerSlam. So it'll be an interesting way to build up to that there and what WWE decides to do after Money in the Bank. Of course, the big story is Liv Morgan. So we're very happy for her, and hopefully she can carry that torch, and they're putting the confidence behind her. So way to go, Liv. We love you.
I hope Liv Morgan has a nice run. I hope that she gets some big wins and has some good matches. And she really like establishes herself as somebody who really can have a memorable championship run. And isn't classified as a Nikki Cross or, you know, one of those kind of like flukish, forgettable runs. And that's kind of my concern. That's my biggest concern. But here in the now, good for Liv Morgan. She deserves it. She's loved by just about everybody, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And so I think we should close on that positive note. Good for Liv Morgan. I'm not sure the next time that we'll talk and do a podcast, we kind of have to figure out our schedules, which is kind of a day by day, week to week thing at this point.
Yeah.
AEW's got a good show coming up. We'll see what happens on SmackDown with everything. So until then, once again, thank you to WWE. Thank you to the TV Garden. Thank you to Banners. Mm-hmm. And we might be doing a SummerSlam one. Stay tuned for more details. And again, as Mike and I's schedule warrants. Good night, everybody, or good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, everybody.
And happy Independence Day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.